So it's the Baltimore Orioles in London. How about those Red Stallions? And eating any pots of joy lately? You might have a problem. This is the Transatlantic Titans podcast.
Standing on the arrowhead at Arrowhead. Brinkley to snap. Kern to hold. Snap. Set. Kick on the way. Good!
One safety in this half. Drive starts at the one and looking for a little breathing room, and they get that in. Plenty more. Derrick Henry still going. Stays in bounds. He might go. 99 yards for the touchdown. Unbelievable.
Welcome along. I'm Adam. I have got Greg and Neil with me. How are you doing, gents?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, all right. Since we last spoke, we now know who our opponent is going to be in the London game at Tottenham. We're going to be playing the Baltimore Ravens. We also know the rest of the Tennessee Titans schedule. So let's overanalyze that. How about it? Neil, what did you reckon? The rumours were Panthers, some rumours about the Seahawks, even the Jags, but the Baltimore Ravens, I didn't see that one coming.
No, obviously it's quite a, I wouldn't say a storied rivalry, but we've had as differences with Ravens in the past. So it's depending on the both teams' records at the time of the game, it could be quite a spicy game, really.
Well, if we're both 0-5, that sort of thing. But I think it'll be spicy regardless. As you say, that's one of the more enticing games on the calendar. And sorry, Nashville, you're going to be missing that. So come over here and get involved, I reckon. Greg, as far as you're concerned, that's probably, if you're going to having a trip to Nashville, I imagine you've got four planned anyway. Baltimore would have been one of them. It feels like a great get.
Massive get, yeah. I was fully expecting it to be one of the NFC teams, maybe the Jags, if obviously because they're coming over twice. I thought there's a shot, then it might be that. I was amazed that was the game that was given up, because to your point, Neil, we've got that little rivalry. It's always a really physical game. It's certainly a game that I can imagine fans in Nashville, when they were looking at the schedule, if you look at every other home game this year, it's the one that you would imagine being one of the top tickets, realistically, certainly from outside the actual division. So, yeah, I'm amazed. I'm actually obviously really pleased. It'd be great to get that rivalry rekindled and doing it across the pond. So, yeah, should be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like it's also had the reaction of neutral fans seem to be a little bit enticed by it, which is unusual. You know, we're not fashionable. We know that. But yeah, our game was perhaps going to be the runt of the litter if it was going to be the Panthers or something, or just it could have been a bit uninspiring to the neutrals. But I think partly because of the rivalry, but the Ravens are quite a sexy team as well, or they are now. Maybe they haven't been historically, but there'll be a bit of demand for this game. But yeah, it's all great. I'm pretty excited, dare I say it.
They've not been over in ages, have they, Baltimore? I can't remember, not doing research, classic me, but I generally can't remember the last time they were over. So pretty sure it's the first time since Lamar, maybe. I'm not sure.
It's probably the first time since Lamar. I think they came over and they got whooped by the Jags, actually.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Would they have still had Joe Flacco? I think they might have done.
Yeah, I think it was. Wasn't that the year they beat us 16-0?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
We've had one or two woeful that game. Well, it was just before the Titans came to London the last time we played that game against Baltimore and just couldn't get a first down. It was just one of those. We have one every year. But it is what it is. Hopefully it will be much better. We talked last pod we did. We talked a little bit about the draft and how we felt. Yeah, maybe it's a bit of a transition year, which is textbook for a team coming over to London. But that won't matter once you're there. It'll be a game. The game will matter. The game will be everything. And it could be I don't think it'll be 0-5 v 0-5. It might be 2-3 versus 3-2, that sort of game. I'm not sure the Ravens will be beatable. I doubt we'll be favourites, but they'll be beatable for sure. Hopefully it's, well, presumably Ryan Tannehill will be under centre, but there's a lot of Will Levis hype. Greg, you weren't on when we spoke to Mike on the last pod, were you?
I wasn't, no.
As a Tennessee Vols fan, how are you feeling about Levis, just as an aside here?
With Levis, it's a weird one. He was out of the top four quarterbacks that were sort of touted in the draft. He was the one who excited me the least from what I've seen. I haven't watched loads of Kentucky football, but I think Neil made this point in one of the podcasts before the draft was around. He's not been in a good college team. So how he can transfer and whether he becomes that Josh Allen type player that all of a sudden just explodes in the NFL, I would love to see that obviously come to fruition. But yeah, I think if we were going to, what I'm happy with is that we didn't trade up in the first round to make that pick, because it seems like that we were really high on him anyway. It was either Stroud or him ultimately. I'm glad we didn't trade up or make any moves in the first round to go for it. Trading up in the second round was a little bit more forgiving, but I think this one's got a lot more pressure on it. I think the Willis move was a shot in the dark. If it worked out, amazing, because you got him for next to nothing, really. Whereas I think trading up for Levis in the second round, giving up a third next year as well, I think they've got to make this work. I think he's got the ability. We'll wait and see what comes out of it. I'm not sure. It's a really weird one right now. We're still a few weeks away before that kind of 1st of June when obviously all the cap hits change, and who knows what that will mean for Tannehill, whether they go down the route of cutting him and saying Levis is the man. That's not what I'm getting from what I'm hearing, but
that sounds pretty extreme.
Well, no, but it's the cap hit. If it does kind of make sense to let Tannehill, whether it's by trade or cut. Mm. If you actually look at the cap hit, it does kind of make sense to maybe make that move if you think Levis is your man. But I can't see that being the case this year. I kind of see it being similar to when, I can't remember what year it was, 2018, when Mariota started the season. And after week three or whatever it was, or week two, when eventually they kind of went, no, Tannehill's going to come in and be the starter. Wouldn't surprise me if Tannehill has a rocky start, then making that choice and making that move. Because this year is a bit of a shot to nothing. This is a year of, we're not expected to kind of go far, but we've got to see what Levis has got. I'd be kind of annoyed if we haven't given him a number of games this year, because he hasn't got a fifth-year option. So you need to know, realistically, in the next year or two, whether Levis is your man.
I know a few have joked about it, but... like, Neil, is there any way that Levis plays in London?
I mean, I don't think you can rule it out. I mean, no. I think looking at the schedule as well, it's not exactly a comfortable start either. No. I don't see a scenario where Ryan Tannehill just plays spotless football for 4 or 5 games. at beginning of the season.
That's not how the Titans go, is it?
No. back to Levis, I think from what I've read and heard since we made the pick, as far as Kentucky goes, like his first season, though really good, and obviously SEC's top conference, so you can take a lot of that from that. His second season, the offensive line fell apart a bit, even to the point where the top offensive linemen were a UDFA. They didn't even get drafted, which tells a story about our. Mm. But I was actually listening to Titans Film Room, Graver's podcast, and they were saying on there that everyone of his teammates that they've spoken to from last year, when it were a bit of an up and down year for him, were basically saying that it would run through brick walls for them all, and they would do the same for him. So it weren't like the season that they wanted, but his character weren't in question either.
Yeah. Mike said a similar thing, didn't he? Like he seems to be the right sort of, like he's got the right attitude that you want. Yeah.
He's got Tannehill vibes, doesn't he, in terms of the style of play? Like he's, he can scramble, but it's not what he's about, but he can. He will run for a brick wall. He'll probably pick up some injuries along the way. The more tape I've seen of him, the more I just think we've just got a much younger version of Tannehill, because it feels there's a lot of similarities there. So it will be interesting to see. I'd have to think this year you've got to give him an opportunity. I think unless we are seriously, we go on an incredible run and all of a sudden we feel like we've actually got a chance of winning the Super Bowl, you've got to put him in at some point this season. That I don't see that being in London unless the first five games are catastrophically bad. But I think
an injury to Tannehill, which could happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got sort of into the sort of second half or last third of the season and he was under center. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think on draft night as well, there were like obviously a lot of cameras in his face and a lot of talk about his mood and his attitude and all that stuff. I'd be worried if he were laid back. You know, when he were falling down the first round, if he'd have just been laid back and sat in his chair carefree, that would set more alarm bells off than actually being the stroppy sort of mess that he was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've got like Aaron Rodgers sort of vibes. You know, yeah, passed up. Yeah, yeah.
You can see the sort of competitive fire there. You'd be worried if he were laid back. So I thought that were harsh. I thought that were unfair to criticize him like this.
It's all about how he uses that now, though, right? It's all about how he can, like, because he will have a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I remember Lamar, when he came into the league, like, he wasn't picked in the second round. I'm pretty sure he was the last pick of the first. But because every other team had turned him down, he had a massive chip on his shoulder. Yeah. And he came in with that chip, and I'm going to prove a point to the 31 teams that turned me down. Because he felt he should have been, you know, top five pick or whatever. So, and I'd love to see Levis go in and do the same thing. Like, take that in a positive way of, I'm now going to go and prove everyone who turned me down right or wrong, even.
So, what do we reckon to the rest of the schedule that was announced? We've got the Saints to start week one on the road, which doesn't seem like the worst. The end of the season is, well, Texans twice late, but that's not the last game. It's Texans, Seahawks, Texans, Jags. The Jags in Nashville, week 18, which I think the NFL kind of gone, obviously every last week, the final week of the season is all divisional matchups. So they've they don't rotate it that much because we had the Texans 3 years in a row. But I think they try and look at it and think, right, which games, which matchups might be the division on the line or a playoff berth on the line, like win and in scenarios. So they sort of second guess. So maybe it's a compliment that they clearly think that the Titans are the second best team in the AFC South. Might not be saying much this year. But if we're the most likely challengers to the Jags, who will clearly be favourites. So maybe that's why they've done that. I don't know. It looks... I saw, obviously, Austin Huff, Cork Bats, did that like 17-0 prediction video. And obviously, that's very tongue-in-cheek. But I sort of feel... having not won a division, we're not playing. You know, we're not playing the Chiefs. We're not playing the Bills. It feels like there are more winnable games on the schedule. And yeah, I know we knew all that before the schedule release. I get that. It's just the order, but it doesn't seem that horrific when you look at it. So like the start.
I think it's a tough start. The first. I mean, if you include the Ravens, the first six games are all could go either way. I mean, the Saints game.
Who knows
what to expect with the Saints in a weird sense? Obviously, you've got Derek Carr under center. I think they're a team that are in a division that they'll feel like they can actually win now. Obviously, Brady's gone out, and they've got. I mean, all four of those teams would fancy they might win that division. Chargers, we all know what they're about. I think not an easy game, but one that at home you would expect us to. Certainly expect us to not expect us to win, but certainly hope we should win. Browns away, I mean, they're just Jekyll and Hyde Browns, aren't they? So who knows what to expect. Bengals are going to be tough. Colts, divisional, always tough. And then the Ravens in London by the time you get to that point. So by the time you get to the bye week, you could be anything from, you know, 4-2 to 1-5. I genuinely do think that because there are a lot of games that could go either way. And I think I was reading somewhere that Vegas have got us as underdogs for all of the first five or maybe even six games. I think it might even include the Baltimore game, which is exactly where I think I'd want us to be.
Well, that's where I want to be. Absolutely.
but,
yeah.
But I do think those first six games are quite tough before you go into that bye week. I do think it, you know, could be anything.
I think you'd take 3-3 there, wouldn't you? I definitely would take 3-3 if it were offered.
I'd snap your hand off, definitely.
Stretch at the end is a lot better. Sorry, five home games in the last seven. Like, if you can go 3-3 in those early stages and then go on a nice run towards the end of the season.
Yeah, there's that middle bit with, I think, three on the road in a row. Was it like the Steelers, the Bucks, Steelers and someone else?
Florida twice, isn't it? You got the Bucks and then the Jags.
But yeah, then it's three out of the last four in Nashville, aren't they? And or maybe more. Yeah, it's feels like a better end. And the Texans twice in the last four games.
Hmm.
No doubt we'll lose one of them. That's just how we roll. But
I think I'd rather play the Texans earlier in the season. Like, you don't really want to be playing the Texans because, I mean, we don't really know what to expect from them this year. But Stroud could be, by that point, just throwing dimes left, right and centre. I think I'd rather be playing Stroud in the early part of the season when he's still, you know, finding his feet. But it's still the Texans at the end of the day. Just let Derrick and Henry run at them. It'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, no Sunday night football. We feel like we're going back to where we belong of just being shunned for primetime games. We've got a Thursday game, which is weirdly against the Steelers. It should be against the Jags, I know, but the Jags have moved on. They've moved on from that. They're on to bigger and better things, and they don't waste time with those Colour Rush mustard jerseys anymore. They're better than that. Then we've got a Monday night game against Miami, but that's in the Monday night games can now be flexed by the NFL late in the season. And I think that falls into that window. So I think week 11 or 12 onwards, they can flex Monday night games if they want to. So I reckon that's why they've stuck us there.
That's why we might start Levis, so we don't get flexed.
maybe.
That might be his first start.
But two out of 17 primetime games, and I think, well, there's obviously the one in London, but then you've got, so the other 14 are all 6 p.m. UK. Obviously subject to change, like they can move the times a bit, but basically
Titans the clock, basically.
Exactly, Titans the clock. How we like it. I'm sure it was, you know, 10 years ago, every single game was at Titans o'clock. We were never on prime time when Zach Mettenberger was under center, were we? And it just feels more like it.
We're gonna be sleeping well this winter, chaps. That's tucked up in bed by 10 p.m. on a Sunday.
Last year we were up at 1:15 to watch Malik Willis.
Yeah,
there's no fun in that. At least.
And we nearly won that Chiefs game as well.
Oh, how there were a lot of games like that though. Like, but I think a lot of that's Brabel. Like we know we've got such a good one with him. Like he will.
Yeah.
We should have been battered by the Chiefs in that game.
Yeah.
But like, a couple of plays go our way, and we end up winning that. There were a couple more like that. Obviously, the slide towards the end of the season, all sorts of things went wrong. We know that, but yeah, we do overachieve. So I don't know. I imagine a lot of pundits will have us. I don't know what Adam Rank thinks this off season, but I'm sure like 3-13 is on the cards in a lot of people's eyes. But a Mike Brabel team won't just have three wins. It doesn't matter. He'll find a way to get more.
I think we do have to. Well, seven straight losses at the end of the last year was the most non-Mike Vrabel thing you would expect from this team. Fully, we all know why that ended up happening realistically. But
it was. But some of those we could have won. Like
no,
I keep going back over it in my head. Like there's obviously a lot of frustration with how the season ended, but we were really unlucky in a lot of those games.
Yeah.
We weren't getting battered every week. It wasn't like going back to, you know, that meme of the guy sat at Lambeau Field with a score of Green Bay 50, Titans 0 on the screen or whatever. It wasn't that. It was Josh Dobbs incomplete / fumble.
Yeah,
50-50 coin flip. It was stuff like that was going on. So I think like we've won games like that in the past. I get that, but it wasn't as if we were being humiliated every week.
No, I mean, you had the Eagles game, which we got kind of ripped a new arsehole, which, to be honest with you, it was just one of those days that AJ Brown decided, yeah, he's going to take it personally. But then after that, yeah, every other game was relatively close, really. And a few of the games where even like the Jags, I think was it Jags at home, maybe we might have lost by a couple of scores, but it should have been closer.
Yeah, that one wasn't pretty, right. But
the Chargers game was, you know, we got it back level and then just let them drive down the field way too easily right at the end of that game.
Really, yeah, we scored too soon, didn't we, in that Chargers game?
Yeah, I mean, that should have been overtime and a coin toss, realistically.
Might have won that game if Tannehill wasn't hurt and he got hurt.
Yeah, it was. And then you've got, what was it, Texans. I mean, by this point, you then have Dobbs in there and you can't really expect to win games necessarily when not, and that's no disrespect to Josh Dobbs. I thought he did a pretty commendable effort considering. But I just think it'd be good to kick off this year and not continue with that slide, even though the season's like you're not looking at this from a form perspective because there's such a big gap and it's a completely different world. But going in week one into New Orleans and picking up a win there, I think is key just to say, right, we're back. When we're back as a Mike Vrabel team that you don't know.
I know that's like a partisan atmosphere and a tough road game, but surely we're not scared of Derek Carr. Surely. You know what I mean? Like, surely if you're a serious team, you've got to go in there and be competitive against New Orleans.
I'm going to say, Miles isn't here. Miles is watching Eurovision. The world needs to know what Miles is doing tonight. He is... In fact, Eurovision's tomorrow. What is going on? I don't know.
He likes eats and everything, doesn't he?
he would say a team like the Saints, we're going to batter them.
It's really difficult for me because I watched Derek Carr in person last year tear us a new arsehole with Matt Collins, it's a bit of a, even though we ended up winning that game, it was one of those things like you just never really know what to expect from those. But I think on the road in New Orleans, I do think they're going to fancy it this year in their division. So yeah. I think it's a tougher game than it was. If we played them last year on the road, I think I would have fancied us more than.
Haven't we really got a really good record there? Like with, I know we don't play them very often.
I was going to say, it feels like
years. I remember the Malakis first win there.
Yeah, it was. And Anthony Fasano.
And that
Delaney Walker touchdown. Do you remember that was Mariota's rookie year and he through a prayer and it just ricocheted and straight into Delaney's hands. And I'm having that.
Yeah.
Ludicrous piece of luck. We might get some more. We might get a bit of luck this year. How about that?
Yeah.
Just want to beat Baltimore. I can't have two back-to-back London games with heartbreaking losses. It's about time we won in London.
I've got good vibes about it. I don't know why. I just feel
they owe us for rushing Deion Lewis more than Derrick Henry last time they came here. So
I would have
Derrick Henry 200 yarder,
and I'd still go for that 2-point conversion even today. I just would have called a better play.
Yeah, 100%.
A million times we've said this a million times, haven't we? Like
there is, like I've seen on Discord and Facebook groups and stuff. There are a few UK Titans fans, and if you're listening, you know who you are. Who was still angry about Mike Vrabel going for two. I never saw it like that at the time.
No.
I was just like, it was his first year as coaching us, and that season we had that game against the Texans when we started Blaine Gabbert, and he was just like, right, we've got to do a couple of bonkers things to win. And we had that fake punt with Byard and Cruikshank beat the Texans. We were a few trick plays here and there, just mixing it up, just trying to. I think he knew that our roster that year wasn't that great.
But Rivers
and just doing a few things. Yeah, but if so you're going to say you're going to gamble.
That's what I'm saying. So why would you sit there and be like, now we'll take overtime, and then we don't see the ball again? Because I don't think we weren't really stopping Rivers anywhere near enough, which is embarrassing to say nowadays, really. But at the time, like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, all those guys, it was almost too simple for them. So I completely, 100%, I said this at the time, and I'll say it forever more.
That was our best chance to win the game. Our best chance to win the game was to...
Terrible play call.
That's Matt LaFleur, wasn't it? Yeah.
My overriding memory of that game is it was Mariota's first ever red zone interception.
Yes.
And I set up upstairs after it had happened to get a beer. And a Jags fan met me in aisle, just somebody with a Jags shirt and Jags hoodie on, and said, "At least you've seen Mariota's first red zone interception." I thought, "Oh, something to that effect. At least you've seen it live." Or, do you get what I mean? I thought, "Nah."
I was going to say we've seen a few Dion Lewis rushes. There weren't that many highlight reel plays from the Titans that day, were there? But they're going to be this time. Absolutely.
Yeah, he actually had an incredible run on that day. Didn't he break about 5 tackles? I mean, I'm still saying it didn't happen, but I remember it.
I bet if you watch the replay, it's like maybe 1 tackle for 12 yard gain or something. But that was a sign of the balls that Mike Vrabel has, and he, you know, you if you take those gambles to try and win a game, it's not going to go your way every time. You have to accept that, and that's how I felt. And if something came up this year where we do the same thing, then I'm sure he'd make the same decision.
When we win games, we're always in close wins, aren't we? So if there's that kind of decision that has to be made to go and win a game, it's because the game is on the line more often than not. It's rare, very, very rare that we go and just blow a team out. And I think this year will be the same. I think the wins that we get are going to be hard working, grinding out one score games.
No fingernails left sort of wins.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think I think this year you'll see similar decisions. And I also think the Titans this year, like I said earlier, this year is a bit of a shot to nothing. No one is in that building is thinking we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, because they know that, you know, there's things that need to be fixed before we get there. We need to get past this season. Next year, cap space a hell of a lot better. Go and build some weapons around, let's face it, probably Levis, which is why I think it's key to give him games time this year. I'm not saying stick him in from week one. I think maybe stick him in for the second half of the season or last third of the season. But you've got to know what you're playing with before the draft next year.
It's difficult to plan when you don't know quite how the season's going to go. You can't don't rule anything out. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think it'll take many things to happen for us to have a successful season. Like if Tarjay Spears is an upgrade on Hilliard, if Burks makes a leap, if defense stays healthier, if offensive line is slightly better. Do you know what I mean?
Offensive line to me is everything here. Like if we've got a functioning offensive line, and Derek still, we know he's still got a bit of juice left in
him. I like the look of that potential starting offensive line on paper. And I don't know if it's because it's just like Emperor's New Clothes, but it just looks a bit more athletic and younger. And do you get what I mean?
You like it on paper. Last year, it literally was paper. So
I never felt confident about any. I always thought the older veterans, the better players, were banged up, and the younger guys weren't ready last year.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. I look at this year's pool in that position, and I think it could be, we're better coaching, it could be decent.
I wasn't here last time to talk around sort of after the draft, but if the Titans don't use Spears and actually use him not just on third downs, actually bring him in, actually give him meaningful snaps, then that for me is just a completely wasted pick. But going in the third round for a running back who, let's face it, is kind of a ticking time bomb with what we know about his injury issues from the past, because he is going to be now, right? But you've got to go and use him. You've got to go and give him opportunities to go and make plays. If you go and if he ends up becoming the next Darrington Evans, like, I'll lose my head. It's like, you can't be spending third round picks on guys that then don't even get a shot at actually really making the field. What's he going to do? Return punts? There's, like, with the injuries he's got, not going to make him return punts or kickoffs or anything like that, I imagine. But
also, you just know there's going to be receivers drafted around that pick that are going to go off.
Yeah,
which is then obviously going to be pointed back at Ran.
Yeah, and even trading up for Levis, like having to move back in that third round, there were probably 3 or 4 wide receivers. I think you've got Downs, who went to the Colts, Hyatt and Tillman, both from Tennessee, who went to the Giants and the Browns or whoever it was they went to. We missed out on them because we had to go back 10 spots in that draft, and then to go and get a running back. At that point, when You know, yeah. I can understand why Titans Twitter was having an absolute meltdown, because we need receivers and we still do. So go and use him. Go and give him an opportunity.
Yeah, it needs to be a big part of game plan. I agree.
Yeah. He can't, and whether that's in the receiving game as much as in the running game, I actually think it would probably do Henry a favour, because I think if you can, Henry has just been a battering ram for the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Actually making Henry a bit fresher will probably give him more longevity, not just this year, but potentially then into next year and beyond. But, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things that pick in the third round, I know you guys spoke a bit about it. It miffed me for a while. And I think he's a talented kid. There's no doubt about that. I've seen a little bit of his tape and he looks a talent. There's no doubt. But use him, whatever you do. Do not make him the next Darrington Evans.
Yeah, he looks exciting. He looks like players bounce off him. He looks like he plays bigger than his size as well.
Yeah.
Let's hope it works out that way. Before we get out of here, I've got to mention the team's scheduled release videos. Two of them, because one of them was in the basement of a bar on Broadway with Jeffrey Simmons as the bouncer and Jeff Fisher serving food, and for all the effort that went into that. And then they did another one, which got way more traction and frankly was way more entertaining and way better, where they just asked people in the street who probably never seen the sport, who they thought the logos were, which was incredible. The Red Stallions, rah! where that came from. But yeah, my 7-year-old daughter had a better idea of who all these logos were, literally. calling the Colts the Cowboys, though, but not just one person, like about four different people thinking that the Colts were the Cowboys. And made my day, to say the least.
I can't get the one of the Jags, not even a real thing. That just tickled me so much. Even so, I've now just snipped that little bit. That for me made the video.
Oh, but they're going to be memes forever, aren't they?
Those? Oh, 100%. But at the same time, that video they did at Roberts Western World, what went into that and the money they must have spent into that to then have it trumped by someone recording on a phone or recording on a pretty basic camera and a little mic.
Well, it's vertical. It's not even like it's portrait rather than landscape as well.
If you're Nate Bain, you're sitting there right now thinking, I'm delighted this has been picked up as much as it has. But at the same time thinking, it took a lot of effort and probably a lot of money to do the one that hasn't got anywhere near the traction. So credit to that team, though. What a team we've got there.
Yeah, it's doing the simple things well sometimes, isn't it? And like it is, well, I suppose it's quite a basic idea, but someone's had to have thought of it. And then, but just all the little things with the Fox music, like someone's thought, let's stick that on there. That makes it, and it's like the punchline of every joke of all 17 opponents. Is that like da 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 da?
I'll tell you the traction it got as well, because I was at work last night and I was sort of following Celtics game on Twitter, so I followed Boston Celtics. And I was like, where's all Celtics updates? Because it was just Titans fans or NFL Twitter accounts just retweeting this video and thinking, what's happening? It's like 15 minutes gone in first quarter, it's end of second quarter. And I can't see any, like, it got buried, basically, in this Titans video.
I even have people who I work with who barely know anything about American football being like, oh, I saw this, it was hilarious. And I was just like... Yeah. First, in my head, I was thinking, are we relevant now? Do people actually,
care? Yeah.
I want to get back in our box. Like, I don't like this. I don't like this attention.
But yeah, we know we excel at producing punters and special teams players as the top, and we know we excel with social media. One day we'll have a football team to match. It won't feel right if we do, will it? Yeah, there we go. Also love the Atlanta Falcons actually changing their Twitter name to the Red Stallions.
Had to be Atlanta as well, did it? Had to be our reserve team.
Yeah. I can't. That's going to be a fun... That game, the narrative around that game will be a lot of fun as well. Second time I mentioned this, but yeah, Court Bats, 2023 Titans versus the 2018 Titans.
Yeah,
we might have to as well.
Maybe, don't rule it out. Okay, a very, very, very quick non-Titans related. It's not been very long since some of us got together. Greg, I'm sure you'd like a little moan about something.
Yeah, I might have done this one before, but I had to travel.
We're over 100 episodes now. Come on, it's like, yeah, you might as well recycle old material.
Yeah, I need to listen back to some, because I'm sure there's some belters that I can elaborate on more. But I went traveling for work, and so I had to leave my house at 3:30 in the morning. But what I don't get is, why do motorways who have variable speed cameras decide to put 50 miles an hour when there's literally nobody on a road and there's no roadworks? But for some reason, they want you to go 50 miles an hour through variable speed cameras. Just let me do 70. Like, there's literally no one on the road. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Environment? Is there a thing with emissions or something? Are they doing things like that? Or is it roadworks where they're not actually set them up? Or
I'd get it if there was roadworks there and even nobody actually working on it. I'd be like, oh, put cones in the road. I'd get it a little bit. That was literally, it's just four lanes of, and only me on the entire road, making me do 50 mile an hour down the M1 driving to Heathrow at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, wasn't particularly pleased about that one, I won't lie. But
is it not to regulate traffic in other on other motorways?
At that time of the morning, no.
What's the point? What's the point of regulating traffic on a different motorway? Like, it's ridiculous.
Speaking of somebody who's done there. Dual speed awareness course. I'm quite well up on all this. And I think it is. It's to regulate traffic like 30 miles away.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but at 3:00 in the morning? Come on, man. But in Austria, they put in, it's probably going back 7 or 8 years, around Innsbruck, the motorway that runs sort of east of Innsbruck. They reduced the speed limit like permanently from 130 Ks to 100. So basically 80 miles an hour to about 60. And it's just for an emissions thing, like the environment in the valley between all the Alps. But yeah, if you've got an electric car, you can go faster. So you've got these, there's suddenly this interesting angle. But it's just irritated a lot of people, including me, every time I go. I'll get a very quick thing out of the way. It's driving related as well. Is I was in a slowish queue of traffic and I see a car waiting to come out at a junction on the way home today. And so I flashed them to let them out and immediately realized that they weren't expecting that, and the sort of panic and the kangaroo bunny hopped and stalled their car right in front of me. It was just some young driver, obviously not that experienced, but proper, you could tell she'd panicked. And like, I wasn't in a hurry. I was perfectly patient. No, not annoyed by it in the slightest, but just to sort of amuse me watching her flounder. She sort of waved, like keeps sticking her hand up as an apology, like just absolutely mortified. But she caught me in the perfect, like, there might have been people behind me who were annoyed. I couldn't care less, but... I could have probably driven round her, but no, take your time. Yeah.
Buy an automatic, makes your life a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, if you want to be lazy or...
Once you go automatic, you don't go back.
Humble brag. Well, our American listeners will only know automatic, most of them, I think. That's
very true.
Yeah.
No one's listening at this point, though. So it's
no. Or if they are, they haven't got a clue what we're talking about. Neil, finish this.
So it's kind of like layered episodic content. I think one of my last...
episodic content?
Yeah, non-Titans recommendations with a shared inside Pots of Joy a few weeks back.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I read an article 3 or 4 days ago that there'd been a listeria outbreak at Cadbury's dessert factory, so maybe's not. So just hold on with that recommendation just for a few weeks while they get that sorted out.
You need to report back in a few weeks' time once we've heard more.
Yeah.
And
someone let Miles know as well, because I think
so. They're really nice, like, but I'm just saying, at the minute, it's a sticky wicket.
If you've contracted listeria as a direct result of listening to this podcast, email us at legaldepartment@transatlantictn.co.uk and we'll get back to you.
I had, when I read this article, I had one in the fridge. but because it didn't state the share in size, it just said like 200 mil or 100 mil or little ones or flake desserts, blah, blah. Because it didn't like outright state it, I just thought, like, I can justify keeping that.
Was it like one left out of a pack of four or something, in which case you've had the other three? That ship has sailed.
It itemized all items that had been affected, and there were pots of joy on there, but it didn't specifically say the bigger tubs. So I thought, right, that's good enough for me.
I mean, technically, it's not us that are liable for any lawsuits, no. I don't think. No. Oh, right. Okay. Excellent. There we go. Good to chat as ever. There are thoughts about the schedule and some random thoughts about Will Levis and Britney Spears, you know, all that sort of stuff. But we might have Harry's quiz at some point soon. Who knows? But yeah, in the meantime, tighten that up.
Dino.